Welcome to Beth Dan's Corner, episode 7. This is my co-host, Allie Cornish.
Hey guys, sorry we missed you for a few months, but we're back. It's summertime now, and we've got more time to play video games and criticize them as well and make top 10 lists. So here we are.
Yep. First thing we're going to talk about today is Mario Galaxy 2. It's awesome. Probably one of the best Mario games ever, I'd say, definitely, even though they're all really good. But I'd say this one's up there, probably in the top two, maybe only second to 64.
And from what I can tell, it's one of the better Wii games that's out right now, especially one of the best ones that's come out this year anyways. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Wii has been... Let's face it, besides what Nintendo releases, there's not much to play on it. And this is basically what Nintendo's released this year. But anyway, let's get into why it's good. Great controls. Mario is probably the most functional video game character in that he is so easy to control. He does everything that you want him to. Perfect. He turns on a dime, jumps whenever you jump. They've gotten rid of all the weird issues with, like, I don't know, in the past Mario games, there'd be, like, weird times when you die and be like, oh, why did I just die? But that won't happen in Mario Galaxy 2 because the controls are just perfect.
Yeah, and when I went back and played Mario 64 for a little bit, they'd have those kind of weird things where it's like you would get stuck between, like, a platform and a wall, and you would, like, I don't know... how to describe it, we'd kind of like bounce back and forth really fast and get stuck, and that could eventually end up knocking you off the world. But it didn't seem like that was happening to you when you were playing Mario Galaxy 2.
I mean, pretty much any time you die in that game, it's your fault. Lack of skill or just being an idiot. Either way. Mario Galaxy 2 is basically the dummy's guide for... creative level design. It is ridiculous. I can't even begin to describe how insane these levels are. I haven't seen anything like it in a game. Like, just the new, like, digging suit, that whole thing will blow your mind. Just, like, digging through the levels and having, like, gravity change all the time. It's crazy.
Well, I liked the variety in the types of levels. I mean, you always have, like, in any Mario game, you have the sand level and the fire level and the underwater level. But, like, it looked different this time around. You know, it was fresh and it was new. I think my favorite level might have been, I don't know what it was called, but it was one of the beach ones. It was that underwater one where you had to freeze it and skate on top of it. That looked really pretty. And you were only there for a really short mission or whatever to get your star, but it was, I thought that one was really good. And I liked the one that had all the art supplies floating around, like the paintbrush level. That was cool too.
I like the giant level where everything was massive. Mm-hmm.
And the throwback level.
Yeah, the throwback level. It was a level from Mario 64 that they redid. Anything you want to say?
No, I just thought I liked the variety and, just that it looked so good. It seemed like it wasn't as hard as usual or as challenging as usual to get the stars that you needed to beat the game.
No, it's really not. There's, I think, about 160 stars in the game. And every star will take you on average 5 to 10 minutes to get. If you remember the days of, like, Mario 64, those stars took a lot longer to get, I feel like. You know, but the ones in Galaxy are kind of short, sweet little nuggets of gaming goodness. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, a lot of them aren't very hard, but if you want to try to get all of them, then the later ones are pretty hard to get.
Especially the timed ones. That can get kind of aggravating when you're on a timer.
Very, very much so.
What about the power-ups?
I feel like the power-ups, they could have done more with. There's a bee Mario. He's pretty cool. You can fly around. There's one where he turns into a Boo, which is a ghost. There's one where he turns into a giant spring and he can jump really high. There's the cloud one where he can create platforms out of nothing. But
I liked the cloud one. I thought that one was pretty cool. I mean, I know you only had three platforms, and then it was out. But I thought that, I don't know, it was really cool.
Yeah, I still feel like they could have done a little bit more interesting power-ups, though. I mean, some of those were, like, look at the old Marios. They had, like, one of the power-ups in the old ones was he turned into a raccoon, and he could fly somehow. It doesn't make any sense, but a little bit more creative than, oh, there's a spring wrapped around him, and now he can jump really high.
Yeah. So, would you recommend this game?
Definitely. I'd say if you have a Wii, you have to buy it. If you don't, then you fail at life.
This may be the only Wii exclusive game that we've reviewed. Can you think of any others? I mean, I know we did a Zelda thing, but that was kind of
Heroes. We've done No More Heroes.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that one. But yeah, I didn't play it a whole lot. Dan beat the game, and he was the one who was mainly playing, but I did some of the multiplayer. And I really just liked to watch it, as usual. But it was fun to play along, too, because can you play with more than two players, or is it just...
No, it's just two.
It's just two? Mm-hmm. And player two collects the star bits, so it was totally, totally simple, but it was also really fun. And I kind of wish they could have done a little bit more multiplayer, maybe more options for that. But, I mean, when have you really seen multiplayer in a Mario game other than, like, Mario Party and stuff?
They used to have it in the old ones, but those weren't simultaneous. It was like one person would take a turn and then the next person would go. But
yeah, that's kind of lame.
Yeah, that is lame.
Yeah. All right, so... Is that everything with Mario Galaxy? Are we good there?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done.
All right, so here's the whole reason we really had to do this podcast. Dan stumbled upon what is easily the worst movie ever made. Take away all your preconceived notions. I know all of you have a movie in mind that you think is the worst movie. Trust me on this one. You have never seen the worst movie of all time until you've watched The Room. The Room is... It's awful. It's just plain awful.
There is literally nothing worse than The Room. But, yeah, we found out about this Room from the Nostalgia Critic. He did a review last week, I believe. But, anyway, let's just talk about it. All right, well, basically what happens is...
Well, hold on. Before we even get into the story, let's just talk about Tommy Wiseau for a second.
Exactly, that's what I was going to do. Tommy Wiseau is the director, the producer, the executive producer, the writer, and the star of the movie. He plays...
So clearly he has everything to do with this, and if there's one person to blame... Which, there is one person to blame for this disaster. It's him.
Yeah, even, like, the company name that he made this movie under was Wiseau Films. this guy is... We're not exactly where he's from. We're not sure where he's from. He's obviously some kind of foreign or something. He has, like, a really, really strange accent and just... The way he talks and the way he acts, and it's all really, really weird. In the story, he plays Johnny, the main character, of course, because it's starring himself. He's a tall, thin, long, black-haired Renaissance man in the movie. Basically, has a perfect job, perfect life.
He has his own place, it looks like. Yeah, some prestigious job, which they never really mention. They say something about a bank, something about computer industry, but they never really say what his job is. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is, he's secure. You know, he's got money. But anyway, yeah, and he makes himself look like this Renaissance man who is just the best guy on the block. And the basic synopsis of the movie is, well, in a nutshell, it's about his girlfriend cheating on him.
Pretty much. I mean, the movie makes it, it's basically like trying to make the main character look like the best guy ever, and the girlfriend is so awful because she's cheating on him.
Yeah, and here's the characters. So there's Johnny, the main character, his fiancée Lisa. Lisa's mom has several lines in the movie. Some kid named Denny, that we don't know if he lives in the same apartment building. It doesn't seem like he's related to them, but it's just some kid who hangs out at Johnny's place.
Apparently, Johnny is paying for his tuition for some reason. AKA yeah. Why so?
We find that out in the movie, too, that this random kid, Denny, who comes over sometimes, Johnny is paying his tuition. And then Johnny's best friend, Mark, who it actually turns out Mark is the one who is, who Lisa, the girlfriend, is cheating with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the whole movie. What is it, like an hour and a half to 2 hours long?
Something like that.
It's just the story of Johnny's girlfriend cheating on him. And it makes her look really, really bad, and it makes him look really, really good. And that's all we can really say about the story. To be honest, neither of us have seen the whole movie.
I'd say we've seen at least like 60% of it on YouTube.
It probably more than that, yeah. Yeah,
probably more like 70%, but you don't really need to see the whole movie to get the idea. It goes in a cycle. Like there's one scene with Tommy and Lisa, and then there's one scene with Lisa and Mark, and then there's another scene with Lisa and her mom, and then the next scene is gonna be like all the guys playing football, and that's they do that cycle about 3 times throughout the movie. That's how the whole movie is.
But let's talk about why the movie is so bad. The main problem is that this is like the Drake of the 99 Dragons of movies. It's the acting. I can't even believe that somebody paid these people, especially Tommy Wiseau, to act in this movie. He's the worst out of all of them.
He is the worst, but all of them are pretty bad. Other reasons is they're bad. Just the cheesy sets, all of them look like they're fake and horrible. there's
stupid set design. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's only like 4 different places throughout the whole movie. There's Tommy's or Johnny's apartment, the roof, an alley, and the flower shop. Can you think of any other places where this movie takes...
No, that's the whole movie. That is literally... Oh, the park when they play football, but that's 5.
Yeah, that's another thing. There's, like, maybe at least 4 scenes where the guys are playing football. And by playing football, I mean they're throwing a football back and forth.
And talking about their relationships.
Yeah, and psychologizing over their terrible luck with women. Although Johnny the whole time is like, oh, Lisa would never cheat on me. And then that's what the whole movie's about. In one of the football scenes, all the guys are in tuxedos. And before they go out, it's the kid, I think, comes in. He's like, oh, want to toss around the football? They're all standing there in their tuxedos. Danny. Yeah, Danny's like, let's toss around the football. And somebody's like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. We're in tuxedos. And then Tommy's like, oh, come on, I'll play the football. And then go outside and play quote-unquote play football in tuxedos. Yeah. Another problem with the movie is the plot lines. So we told you the main story, but there's all these random, like, they're not even important.
They're like side plots that don't go anywhere, and they're not important. there's one part where the mother just randomly goes, well, I definitely have breast cancer. And
yeah, all of a sudden the mom has breast cancer.
First of all, she doesn't sound very worried about it. She's just like, well, I definitely have breast cancer. And then second of all, they never ever talk about it ever again.
It's mentioned once, and the rest of the movie is they don't even address it again.
Yeah. And the other thing is, another random plot line was the tuxedos that we just talked about. Why are they in tuxedos?
Yeah, we couldn't figure out what was going on. I don't know if they were supposed to be at a wedding or something, but it doesn't explain why they're in tuxedos.
And then the last random plot line that we could remember was, for some reason, they had Denny, the kid, get into drugs for no apparent reason.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I guess like halfway through the movie, you find out that he's been buying drugs from somebody. Not taking them. Taking them at all, just buying them. And then we don't know what else. But apparently he owes some dangerous men some money. What else is bad? The music. The music in these scenes, it'll be like, okay, here's an example. So Johnny gets home from work and he's talking to his girlfriend, fiance, Lisa, about his job and how he didn't get a promotion. All the while, this psychological thriller music is going on in the background.
Yeah, like this like shrill violin, like stuff that makes tingles go up your spine. It's really weird and out of place.
So it really, it's like that through the whole movie. And you don't understand, you know, why am I on the edge of my seat right now? He's telling his girlfriend he didn't get the promotion. Let's see. How about the ending?
The ending is just absolutely horrible. The movie ends with Johnny finding out that Lisa and Mark were cheating on him, and he goes on a rampage through his apartment.
A half-hearted rampage,
yeah,
nonetheless.
Half-hearted. He's like, oh, I'm so mad. And he like kind of half-heartedly knocks stuff off of a shelf. And he's like, I'm so mad right now. And then he sits down on the couch and he shoots himself in the head. That's literally how the movie ends.
And if that wasn't bad enough, after he shoots himself, his fiance, Lisa, is over him crying, and she turns to her new boyfriend and says something like, well, now we don't have to worry about him anymore. We're free to be together.
That's just horrible. I'm sorry, but that's just awful.
Yeah, and sorry we spoiled it for you, but you have to watch it. Do yourself a favor right now or after the podcast ends and please go to YouTube and type in The Room. I don't even... Yeah?
Yeah, one other thing I just wanted to mention real quick. The title, The Room, doesn't mean anything in the movie. It doesn't mean... It's pointless. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, we couldn't figure out why he picked the title The Room.
Yeah, and just one more thing I hate about it is the cheesy soap opera-esque storyline of the movie.
Well, yeah, I'm not into that kind of thing either, but, like, didn't he claim... Okay, the movie is clearly meant to be some kind of statement on relationships, but oh no, Tommy Wiseau says it's a black comedy.
Okay, here's what happened. People started seeing The Room, and they started going, wow, this is awful. It's so bad that it's funny. So Tommy Wiseau goes, oh no, it's supposed to be that bad. It's intentional. It's black comedy. Because he was trying to cover it up the fact that it was just a horrible, horrible movie.
I just want to point out, too, with the whole accent thing, like, we're not trying to make fun of the guy. It's just, that is an unidentifiable accent. I can't tell if it's... I cannot understand the origin of...
And nobody knows where the man is from. That's what makes it even funnier. I can't find any records of this guy ever before The Room. It's weird and kind of creepy and unnerving, frankly.
Yeah, but we have thoroughly enjoyed watching clips of The Room on YouTube, so I think you should go look it up. And that brings us to our top five worst parts of The Room. We have compiled a list of five of our favorite or least favorite. I don't even know what it is, but just some significant parts of the movie. Let's go ahead and start with number five. Do you want to kind of give a background to this, Dan?
All right, so this is at Tommy's birthday party or something. Isn't his birthday party? Yeah. This is where he first finds out about Lisa and Mark, and they, him and Mark get in a huge fight, and then after the fight, he says, "Everybody betray me. I'm fed up with this world." And then he walks up the stairs.
That was actually pretty good. "Everybody betray me. I'm fed up with this world." I just like how it happens at his birthday party. Did you notice that every major life-changing event is in the room? They've got a birthday, they've got a promotion, they've got a mention of college,
marriage,
drugs, disease, life-threatening cancer.
I was watching, this is just funny, but I was watching an interview with him where he was like, "Oh, we tackle all kinds of issues in the room. We got drugs, we got relationships." It was just funny.
Yeah, so everybody betray him.
"Everybody betray me. I fed up with his world."
Look that up on YouTube. So that was our number five. Number four was the aforementioned breast cancer scene.
This scene is Lisa and her mother are sitting down for coffee or something. And Lisa's going, "I don't love Tommy anymore. He's Johnny. Boring. I don't love Johnny anymore. He's boring. I love Mark now." And the mother goes, "Well, at least you have a dependable man, and at least you're not dying."
Well, you know, she's like, "I'm dying."
She's like, "I'm dying." And then she's like, the daughter's like, "You're not dying, Mom." And she goes, "Well, I got the results in for my test. Well, I definitely have breast cancer."
Hold on, no. She goes, "I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer." And that's it.
And that's how it's delivered. I mean, all right, first of all, they never talk about that ever again.
If you gave that kind of news to somebody, I mean, come on. That's not how you're going to say it.
Yeah, she seems like she just got pranked or something. Like, she's just like, "Well, oh, the naughty, naughty." Exactly. Like, "Oh, I stepped in some dog poo on the way in here." But she's like, "I guess I have breast cancer." And it seems like she's just okay with it. She's not, like, crying or anything.
All right. So that was number four. All right. Number three is going to take some explaining. This is the notorious flower shop scene. So somewhere towards the beginning of the movie, Johnny goes to the flower shop to buy his fiance, Lisa, a dozen red roses. And they decided to put this part of the story in the film, but it only takes up about 15 to 16 seconds. That's how long it is. Yeah,
the whole interaction in the flower store or whatever, it's like 15 to 20 seconds long. 16 seconds. He's in there for 16 seconds. And, I guess we'll try to explain how this happens.
Well, maybe we can try and reenact it somehow. Do you want to be Johnny or do you want to be the flower shop lady?
I'll be Johnny, I guess.
All right. So, okay, let's try this.
All right, I walk in the store. "Hi, can I have a dozen red roses, please?"
"Oh, hi, Johnny. I didn't know it was you. Here you go."
"That's me." "How much is it?"
$18.
"Here you go. Keep the change. Hi, doggy. Bye."
"You're my favorite customer." And scene. Yeah, that's approximately how it goes. It's literally 16 seconds long.
And he says, "That's me," when she gives him the flowers for some reason unknown.
I just like at the end, he's like, "Here you go. Keep the change. Hi, doggy. Bye."
Like, he's like, "How much is it?" And before she can even finish, she's like, "Here, to keep the change."
Oh, did we mention there's a dog sitting on the...
There's a dog sitting on the counter for God knows what reason. And he goes, "Hi, doggy," before he walks out. "Hi, doggy.
Hi, doggy, bye."
"Hi, doggy, bye." And then on the way out, it's funny because you can totally tell it's dubbed because he is not even facing the lady when he says bye. He's just walking away.
"You're my favorite customer."
Yeah, and she follows it up with, "You're my favorite customer."
Please, please go to YouTube and type in flower shop scene, The Room. That's one of my personal favorites. All right, but that's number three. Number two, I think Dan mentioned that, or maybe not, at some point in the movie, Lisa, the girlfriend, starts spreading a rumor that Johnny has hit her. He apparently got drunk and hit her, which, according to Johnny, is not true. And you never see it. It's not true. She's lying about it. Mm-hmm. And so, in this part of the movie, Johnny leaves and goes up on the roof, and he's walking out onto the roof, talking to himself, going on and on about he did not hit her.
Basically, he says, "It's not true. I did not hit her. It's baloney. I did not."
That's literally how he says it.
So yeah, so the poor voice acting. I'm gonna do my best here. Yeah, it's something along the lines of, "I did not hit her. It's not true. It's baloney. I did not hit her. I did not." And then he follows it up with, "Oh, hi, Mark," who's sitting on the roof.
Yeah, Mark is sitting right across from him, and he just goes, "Oh, hi, Mark." After he's clearly very upset about the whole rumor, and he just goes, "Oh, hi, Mark," out of nowhere.
"I did not hit her. It's not true. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark." Mark. I think that might be my favorite part. "Oh, hi, Mark." And he does it a few other times, but that's the best time.
Well, he does it with every character. He's like, "Oh, hi, Danny." "Oh, hi, Johnny." "Oh, hi, Lisa."
"Oh, hi, Mark."
"Oh, hi, Mark."
Like, all of a sudden, he's not mad anymore. Oh, God.
The number one worst scene from The Room is...
I'm going to let you do this one. The number one is a scene where... Well, this line is delivered by Johnny, and I'm just going to let Dan do it.
All right, well, what happens is he is fed up about the rumors of him hitting her.
He's fed up with his world.
He's fed up with his world. Anyway, he's mad at Lisa for spreading all these rumors about him, and he goes and confronts her about it, and this is exactly what he says. He says, "You are tearing me apart, Lisa." And he says,
"You're tearing me apart, Lisa."
And the way he says it is hilarious. He just goes, "You're tearing me apart, Lisa."
I think that's probably the most famous line from the movie, too. If you can even say that.
It's like such a generic soap opera line to say. That's like a cliche.
Oh. All right, we did have one honorable mention, too. You want to explain this?
Sure. This is the scene we mentioned where Denny goes up on the roof of the building and tries to buy drugs from some kind of crazy drug dealer. And he doesn't have the money, and the drug dealer gets mad at him and pulls a gun. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Tommy, Mark, and Lisa and her mom come out of nowhere and save the day. They apprehend the guy, apparently send him down to the police or something. But what follows is this interchange between Lisa and her mom and Denny, and it's completely hilariously overacted. The mother is like, Lisa's mother is like, "Well, how did you get into drugs? You are in so much trouble."
"You're in big trouble, mister."
"You're in big trouble, mister." And Lisa is screaming at the top of her lungs, "What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Why would you do this?" And then Denny is like crying his eyes out. And Lisa says, "What were you doing up here?" And Denny goes, "I bought some drugs from him."
That's our honorable mention. "I bought some drugs from him."
He sounds like he's peeing his pants when he says it. He's like, "I bought some drugs from him."
Oh, my God. Nobody's going to laugh at this but you and I until they look it up, until they see it.
After you guys see these horrible scenes, you're going to laugh.
I don't understand how anybody could not think this is funny, you know?
Me neither. Acting that bad is hilarious. I don't even... It's beyond funny.
Oh, God. So, yes, The Room. Check it out. Buy it on eBay. Order it on your Netflix queue.
Or just download it illegally and don't pay any money for it.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah, actually, don't do that. We do not endorse piracy here at the Bat Dan's Corner.
All right, well, I think that's our show for today.
Before we wrap it up, I just wanted to say, mail us. We need questions.
Yeah, guys, we even after our 3-month hiatus, we didn't have any listener mail. I almost said viewer. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any listener mail to read, so come on, guys. Email us, batdancecorner@gmail.com, or you can even post on the Facebook group page, and we'll read it there. So, yeah.
I think we should try to post some of these videos on the Facebook page from The Room. You guys can check those out. And I guess we'll try to be back with a new episode shortly.
All right, thanks a lot.
Signing off.